time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, shout out to the Colts. I know that I usually come across as biased, but today, seriously, shout out to the Colts.
I don't know.
They got rid of something they needed to get rid of, and they got a pretty good deal for it.
Yeah, but Vanessa, they did not get a good deal to get him.
What do you mean?
Well, come on. Look what they traded to get Carson Wentz when they first got him.
Yeah, but once they realized that something was not working, they got rid of it rather than dragging it out for another year.
But they did drag it out for 1 year.
They did drag it out for 1 year, and they lost that first-round pick. Carson Wentz heading to the Washington Commanders. The final haul, this was just updated at 9 a.m. by Adam Schefter. Washington gets Carson Wentz, of course, a second and a seventh. Mm-hmm. And then Colts get a second, a third, and a conditional third.
Oh.
The Colts unloaded his entire $28 million salary on the Commanders, which I think is a win for the Colts. Not a lot of dead money. Yeah, I mean, this is a situation that I wish that, and Colts fans wish that they wouldn't have been in to begin with, to your point. This was never a good move. Bringing in somebody, bringing in Carson Wentz, who had just come off his worst year in the NFL, had leadership issues in Philadelphia, was not really well-liked in the locker room.
Anywhere.
But Frank Reich liked him. Obviously, Frank Reich's like me with men. I think I can fix you. Was never a good move for the Colts, but they made the move.
Yeah.
At one point in the season, they have a 90% chance of going to the playoffs.
And then they blew it.
I'm at the game against the Raiders. It was horrific.
Should have gone to the Jaguars game.
We all saw the Jags game. So Carson Wentz was not working out. Zach Kiefer with a great, great article in The Athletic that kind of sums all of it up. Gets into the issues that Irsay had with bringing him in the first place. Gets into the issues that Ballard had with bringing him in the first place. But they trusted Frank Reich, and it did not work out.
I would have figured you would have called that article depressing.
Yeah, I thought it was very informative. Zach Kiefer is one of the best writers in Indianapolis, and he did months. I mean, I can tell. It's like you don't write that in 2 days. He did months of research for that.
You're doing a pretty good job of just avoiding all the barbs I'm giving you because I'm trying to talk trash to you because you're a Colts fan. You know, once a Colts fan, always a Colts fan.
Yeah, but you have to remember I'm Midwest, so I'm like,
you're very polite. You're shaking it off.
I'm able to, but you see the evil behind this line.
So, I mean, you got to be really excited, everybody, because guess what? Texas officially back. The Sam Ellinger era has begun. How about that? Hook 'em. You ready for Sam Ellinger and the Indianapolis Colts to go 5-12?
I think that they're going to bring in a vet quarterback.
Who's that going to be?
I don't think that they're... Do you want to go through the list? We planned on doing this later. We can do it right now.
You know what? Sure, why not? Let's go through it right now.
All right, let's pull up the list of who the Colts could bring in.
We've got a quick show. We
do have a 30-minute show. You're going to hear Aggies basketball at 11.
Yeah, coming up. Around the corner.
Yeah.
Pre-game, 10:30. How about that?
At 10:30. Pre-game starts at 10:30.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're really excited. He's super handsome, right? I mean, I'm not sure if he's tall enough for you, but how about the Italian, Jimmy Garoppolo?
You have the crush on Jimmy G.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not the one that has the crush on Jimmy G because I don't like pretty boys.
I mean, whoa. I take offense to that first off.
I know you do.
Second, Jimmy Garoppolo looks like Aladdin and has been to a Super Bowl. How many Colts quarterbacks can say that? Just one. But Jimmy Garoppolo, you bring him in. Are you really looking at Jimmy Garoppolo as someone that's going to be an upgrade over Carson Wentz? Because I think no matter what the Colts end up doing at quarterback next season, it's going to be pretty much the same situation where they'll have somebody.
But they go to the playoffs if they had Jimmy G this year.
They didn't
go with Carson Wentz. If they had Jimmy Garoppolo, they would have at least gone to the playoffs.
It's interesting looking at this from the Texans' perspective because I think anyone who follows the Texans is like, just give us someone who's not terrible at any position. We're fine.
Right.
But for you, as someone who has tasted the glory of Super Bowl appearances, Super Bowl victories, and you bring in, another above-average quarterback to replace a above-average quarterback, cool, you guys might make the playoffs.
But you're acting like there are options.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't options.
I know.
That's the problem. So it's not about getting excited.
That's why I'm happy.
It's about realizing, well, but the Texans are in a little conundrum themselves,
too. Oh, yeah,
they are. I mean, so actually, a lot of teams are, because this just, when you look at the quarterback class, all of the draft analysts, from our guy Lance Zierlein to every, I mean, they say that this is just not a really sexy quarterback class. So you're dealing with the possibility of maybe Malik Willis turns out to be something good.
Right.
But other than that, you're looking at maybe Jameis Winston, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, Mitchell Trubisky, and the only person out of that, Jordan Love. So the only two that I could see Indianapolis bringing in, sincerely, would maybe be Jordan Love or Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, God.
I don't think, now, I will say this, I don't think they'll bring in Jordan Love, but he, are they going to take Kirk Cousins' $35 million contract? Absolutely not.
You know what? I mean, and I'm actually speaking seriously here. I think they should. I think Kirk Cousins would work out pretty well in Indianapolis. I feel like, look, here's a clear limit with Kirk Cousins, too. But Cousins is on a higher echelon of quarterbacks than both Jimmy Garoppolo and than Carson Wentz. Because those two, I mean, it's just a matter of time. They are a ticking time bomb. They might play well for a game, but there will be a what the bleep just happened moment with those guys. Where with Kirk Cousins, he just doesn't take shots. But I feel like if I'm Indianapolis, that's the move I'm looking to make. Because you're in a situation right now where it doesn't really make sense if you're the Colts to just go with a guy who's about on the same level as the guy you just had.
But it also doesn't make sense to bet on developing somebody because they have a win now team.
That's what I mean, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
right.
So this is not like a developing team. So I could see maybe Jordan Love, Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know that I would hate Kirk Cousins. I think I would hate if they had to take on his entire contract because they don't have all that money to spend. Good for them. Good for Chris Ballard, though, for dumping that salary on Washington. Take it. Wow. Okay, so what does this mean for Deshaun Watson?
We talked
yesterday about how Ian Rappaport had said the options were robust to where other reporters like Brian T. Smith, writing that the options were more limited.
It's another name off the list. I don't think it was a team that Deshaun Watson would have okayed a trade to.
Because he has the no-trade clause.
Right. Look, they're a mess. I mean, Carson Wentz doesn't have that. I don't even know if Carson Wentz necessarily wants to go there. He's not even guaranteed to be the starter. Carson Wentz or Taylor Heinicke, I don't know. I feel like
that's a good point.
That's actually an even race that Heinicke theoretically could win because Heinicke does have some upside. And also, unlike Carson Wentz, who in that article by Kiefer, which you're right, it was a great piece, everyone seems to just hate Carson Wentz, except for maybe Darius Leonard, who's depressed that the Colts are going through a fifth quarterback in 5 years.
I don't know that he's depressed that Carson Wentz is leaving as much as it's the fifth quarterback. Yeah.
Right. I mean, look, you're having all these relationships, and they aren't lasting too long. You're essentially just swiping right, get the one date, and then you're getting ghosted after the fact, or you're ghosting the person after the fact. But as far as the Texans go, and options for Deshaun Watson, yep, got to take Washington off the list. Indianapolis is not a team that I think you would be willing to put on the list. And they don't have the kind of capital to maybe send somebody over to you. And yesterday, Vanessa, we also saw a story that came because former NFL quarterback Sean King decided to throw out there, the Steelers might be interested in Deshaun Watson, which led to another reporter who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers to emphatically say, no, the Steelers are not in on Deshaun Watson. So if we are to write down the official people that have in some way, shape, or form, been on the record saying no to Deshaun Watson. It started off with the New York Giants. It was then the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. And now you could throw, the Pittsburgh Steelers into that
mix.
Yeah,
but did the Steelers say that?
It's as close to the Steelers saying it as you're possibly going to get.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know that the Steelers. Here's the thing. I think it was the Giants that had said where it is right now, we're out on Deshaun Watson. And it playing some music over
yeah,
there.
I don't know what's going on. Listen, I'm old. I don't know how my computer works.
I believe that where things are right now, okay, now keep in mind, he's getting deposed tomorrow.
Yep.
We expect him to plead the fifth. With where things are right now, I think a lot of teams are out on him. Once he gets the legal issues resolved, it is a completely different story.
Yeah, I think so.
Completely.
But how many teams do you think are going to come back to the table? Do you think any of the teams that I just listed, that New York, that Miami, all of a sudden might change their mind theoretically?
Yeah, I think
I do. You think it's possible? Okay.
Probably not Miami.
Yeah.
Because of everything they're dealing with Brian Flores and their owner possibly having to sell the team if it's proven that he was trying to give some hundos to Brian Flores to throw games. So probably not Miami due to the PR situation that they're in. But I could see New York coming back.
I wonder with New York, because they're such goody two-shoes.
They are. They're the ones that complained about taunting.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
I see that.
It's very funny how we're the establishment of the NFL. Wait, what? What have you done? I mean, you won those two Super Bowls. But really, other than that, over the last 30 years, what have you done? Scott Norwood misses a field goal. The Giants of the late 80s were awesome. But then, like, the 90s sucked. Early 2000s, win one title. 2010, 2011, they win another title. But they're like these cake eaters that are the apparently one of the NFL's crown jewels. Huh? How? Share stadium with the Jets. Like, calm down. Get over yourself.
Yeah, and a huge market.
True. True. Very big market. It's weird, though, just the way that they are put. So, okay, maybe the Giants come back to the table. Look, we touched on it a little bit yesterday. You gotta pester the hell out of Seattle right now. You got to just annoy them to the point of saying, like, look, I mean, come on. Pete Carroll's, he's old. Yeah, he might be, you know, gallivanting around on the sideline as if he's got the energy of a schoolboy, but he is 70 years old. You know he doesn't want to deal with this. And you guys have taken flyers on players in the past. Don't act like you're morally superior to this.
But so have the Steelers. So that's always my thing, is that, like, you look at what they had going with Ben Roethlisberger. Now, granted, that was, what was that, two cases to where this is 22? I think the Steelers would absolutely go after Deshaun Watson. Conflicting reports.
I don't know if a reporter, so Jerry Dulac is the guy of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Do you think that he would, put your reporter hat on, say, in all caps, are not to...
Currently, they are not.
Okay.
If the legal issues get resolved, everything changes.
You think so? Okay.
If the legal issue, yeah, if the legal issues get resolved, every team that needs a quarterback is calling about Deshaun Watson.
You're probably right, but and to go back, though, to what you were saying about how Pittsburgh sort of has looked the other way with Ben Roethlisberger in the past, different era, right? I mean, we're talking about,
yeah,
what was it, 2005, 2006, something like that? I mean,
yeah.
You know, that it was easy to turn a blind eye before the Ray Rice video, and now since then, I mean, I don't know. Do you have the stones to do it? And it's weird, too, because the Seahawks at one point, John Schneider, their general manager, had said, yeah, we don't take guys with character issues, and then they, like, draft Frank Clark, and they bring in Jaron Reed, and they keep him, and you know, some of the other guys that they brought in, too, over and over again. But they're the team. I think you keep on picking up the phone, like, Hey, John Schneider, what's going on?
Yeah, I think that as long as Deshaun is wrapped up in legal issues and criminal, I mean, that's the thing, like criminal cases, as long as those remain, teams are out on him. Mm-hmm. I think that that all changes. We've seen the NFL and teams in the NFL
forgive a lot.
And as long as you win, it doesn't seem to matter. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we wrap up a thrilling show. We'll talk about baseball and where that is at with the lockout. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Thursday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. Vanessa and Gallant, you can hear us on 97.5, 92.5, of course, the ESPN app, and you can stream us on Twitch. This is our last segment before we throw you to the Aggies basketball pregame. But let's give you an MLB update, and the update is that there is no done deal because this time the players were greedy. Fun!
The update is that they both suck, and should we give them any more time? I feel like we're doing their battles for them. Hey, this side wants X. This side wants Y. It's an annoying soap opera. The players are digging their heels in about an international draft because they don't want it to be implemented right away. If that's the last obstacle, because it feels like a lot of the other things, the luxury tax threshold,
taken care of.
Right. If this is the only thing, Vanessa, that's holding them up, get over it. Are you just going to fight for the sake of fighting? Because it does feel like that with the Players Association a lot. And at a certain point, it can't be all about the owners. It can't. For the most part, it can be, but not all about the owners. Come on. So they canceled another week of games. 2 weeks now have been canceled, where we thought that maybe the first week that had been canceled could be uncanceled. Cancel culture.
Bob Nightingale tweeting the current MLB, MLBPA economic proposals, luxury tax, minimum salary, et cetera, et cetera. Francisco Lindor weighing in and on the international draft, tweeting, get informed before jumping to conclusions.
No, I'm going to jump to conclusions.
Right.
Do I really need to know the specifics of this?
I've been in bargaining sessions. I was in Florida, the PA, blah, blah, blah. The narrative being pushed also ignores a lot of history, including corruption from clubs. This issue is bigger than just Latin players or amateur players. It's about all players and about the future of the game. We need to get it right.
I don't give a crap. Play baseball.
Right.
You know? Like, at this point, this is something that could have been handled again over the last 3 months.
Totally.
Shut the hell up. My God.
Lockout day 99. All right. Per Bob Nightingale and Evan Drellick and the others, no formal negotiations scheduled this morning, which is ridiculous.
Of course. God, they suck.
But the two sides are expected to speak and determine if they can reach a compromise on delaying an international draft decision until November 15th and complete negotiations on a new CBA deal to still resurrect full season.
Why not just do that now?
Right. Why not just meet? This is getting to the point to where I think people are waking up to the fact that the players are part of this too. And I mentioned this early on. I've never seen this many writers and reporters from one sport that were just siding with the owners. And they have the right to do that. Like, Jeff Passan knows more than I do about this. And Marley Rivera, but you know, like Marley Rivera changing her profile picture to the gray avatar that the players are doing. But you know what I mean? It's like,
kiss ass.
They're all siding so vehemently with the players. That's
what you're
cool.
supposed to do.
That totally, because that's they get more access from the players.
That's
so there's
true.
A little bit of a political game there too. But at this point, you have to put your logic cap on and see that the players are impacting this as well.
You've been an actual reporter before. You know, I did some reporting, but barely any, when I was over at the flagship station. And essentially, my experience covering baseball was one time Ozzie Guillen told me to grow the bleep up, mother bleeper.
He did.
You're kidding me, which was a funny moment.
It was cute.
But so for you, when you see this happening, it is interesting to see that political game being played where it does feel like all of a sudden, as opposed to the people covering this the way that they're supposed to, which is supposed to be neutral, right, that they are taking such firm sides. Do you have a problem with it as the next reporter?
Yeah, I think that there's been a little bit too much bias. And I think that the general public wants the information given to them in a way that they can digest. And I do think that the reporters have done a really good job of that. Like, Evan Drellick and all those guys will tweet in layman's terms so we can understand it. But I don't like that it's been so pro-player, even though, ironically enough, the majority of the time I do agree with the players. But I don't need commentary when you're talking about this. Just tell me when you think a deal will get done. Because if that's the other side of that, though, and this is a much, much, much larger discussion, is that the way that media is now, media has really changed, right? Mm-hmm. So you have guys in the past, like the Adam Schefters and the Ian Rappaports and the Marley Riveras, whatever sport, pick a sport, any sport, that would just give you information, and now they do a little bit of the opinion analysis.
Facts have taken a backseat to the opinion.
Totally.
Right. And, you know, Jeff Passan likes to insert his opinion into a lot of these things. I get it. It works, clearly. But there's a certain point where, okay, what does swaying the public's opinion do for this process? What does it do? Is pressure on the owners going to make them all of a sudden not be the blood-sucking, money-grabbing folks that they have been for their entire lives? No, you're not going to change their mind because a couple of fans are saying, hey, we demand you pay the players. That's not going to happen.
Right.
And the same thing on the other side, too. Like, okay, you see that the player's perspective is maybe one that's a little bit more to be empathized with, but still, I mean, I would just like to see what the holdup is. And honestly, because both of these sides are being stubborn and they're not meeting at all times, I choose to believe that they are both at fault, varying degrees on the blame chart pie, but they're both at fault here. And I'm just tired of it. I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
We have to, because we want baseball to be back.
I mean, if we don't have baseball until May, that's just an epic, epic failure on so many parts.
What are we going to do? I mean,
talk about the NFL, which is what we do anyway.
Oh, yeah,
that's the sad thing.
You know,
right? No, I mean, like,
I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah, me too. All right, the Rockets, by the way, Jalen Green showing some awesome potential last night. Not even potential, like, he's doing the damn thing. And they closed out the Lakers.
Yeah, that was a hell of a game. I watched the whole thing, and I was really struck by what the Lakers are. I mean, what a disappointment.
They're geriatric.
They are this year. Yeah, and LeBron is basically pouting up and down the court. He's disgusted to be with the team around him. He really is. But, man, there was one moment towards the end of the game against the Lakers in regulation where I felt like the Rockets need to establish something. They need to establish that Jalen Green's the guy. Mm-hmm. And they can't let Kevin Porter Jr. dribble up court with go 5 seconds into the shot clock and just take a stupid shot. I know he made an incredible one in overtime and that the Rockets were they couldn't miss in overtime. It was an incredible flourish to end. But Jalen Green makes some incredible plays towards the end. Jalen Green scores the first 7 points of overtime. I'm not going to say all of a sudden, like we constantly hear, oh, the progress, that, you know, let's see where it goes. You know, I feel like watching the broadcast and going on Rockets Twitter, sometimes there's a little bit too much sunshine going on. But he is clearly making a lot of progress all of a sudden. And that is something to get excited about. And I mean, after the game, he's essentially saying, yeah, I was going at Carmelo Anthony. What?
Yeah, he did say that.
He's got a little swagger
He has that swagger, and he has that, like, the young rascal that's, like, not afraid to just go after the... I mean, I think people like that. And look, Carmelo's old.
Yeah, yeah. So that whole team is old. Russell Westbrook.
The whole team...
I mean, Westbrook.
...is so old.
Yeah.
Westbrook.
Yeah.
Oh,
my family.
Your alma mater had a little controversy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, don't mess with us, you know.
Oh,
Vanessa, I'll punch you right in the gut like Buddy Boeheim did to that one guy.
What was he thinking?
I think it was incidental. Now, of course, Jim Boeheim made it out to be like he's being persecuted or something like that. Like, Jim, you guys have gotten away with a lot. I'm a Syracuse alum.
It is also your child.
Good. Yeah. Oh, he was fine. I mean, Florida State, to their credit, they didn't think it was that big of a deal. But for those who didn't watch, Syracuse was just bodying Florida State. And at some point, Buddy Boeheim's going up court, and his right arm goes into the body of a Florida State player. It didn't look good. And I don't know if the suspension was necessarily warranted. Of course, you know, the ACC tournament does all that it can to make sure that Duke has the easiest path possible because they are run by Coach K and by Duke. You know, North Carolina, a state that's centered around college basketball and those two figures, both Coach K at Duke and whoever's the head coach at North Carolina. But, yeah, I mean, that's what we'll do, Vanessa. Don't mess with us. We will punch you right in the stomach, right in the baby makers.
Oh, cute.
Boom, right in the ovaries.
All right. Hey, that's it for a shortened show of Vanessa and Gallant.
You just moved on.
The Texas A&M Aggies men's basketball team taking on the Florida Gators, A&M 20-11, Florida 19-12. So we're going to throw to the pregame show. Thanks for joining us on Vanessa and Gallant, and enjoy this edition of your Aggies basketball pregame show.
Bye, okay, bye.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.